All right, open your Bible, if you would, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. Let me say it is a privilege to be here. I appreciate the good word of God that we've heard preached. I was thinking, as the first preacher was preaching this morning, he said some things, and I thought about Brother Blue, Fellowship Baptist Church, Stone Mountain, Georgia, where Brother Barnard's a pastor. As an outlaw and a drunk and a heathen, I went to that church one Sunday, and I listened to him preach that Sunday morning, and then started home. I lived over at Forest Park myself. We started back home, and I looked over at my wife. She never had heard me say this before, and I said, "I believe I'll go back and hear that man preach again tonight."
Yeah,
and I went back, and you asked me what he said. I don't remember much that he said in that message, but this, when the brother was preaching, it reminded me. This, he made this statement somewhere in the course of the message. If a man would only stop and think. And God took that phrase and stopped me dead where I was. And made me think about what I was, where I was going, and what I needed. And God saved me that Sunday night. Amen. And I bless him for that. Amen. All right, we'll read just one verse of Scripture. There'll probably not be a whole lot of preaching. I run out of oxygen, and I have to have it. And sometimes I get short-winded. I'd get short-winded where I pastor, but I got plenty of oxygen down there. I got the big bottle, so I just take it with me. But I hope the Lord will help us. It's been a blessing. All right, Hebrews chapter 12, and let's read verse number 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that you've allowed us this opportunity to be in the house of God. The good word of God that we've heard this morning and last evening, I thank you, God, that you're still able to bless and strengthen your children through the preaching of the word of God. And I do ask, Lord, that on through this meeting, God, that you would stir our hearts about thyself and about missions. Oh, God, lift us up from that place where that we have found ourselves, grace us with power and strength. We'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. We ask it in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. I want to take just a few minutes this morning and think about the subject of apathy I really didn't know what the word meant till I looked it up, but it means want of feeling or void of feelings. One of the things that I've realized in the years that I've been pastoring, and I was trying to figure it up a while ago, I've been saved since 65, remember how many years that is, and been preaching most of that time. And one of the things that has been brought to my attention in these days, in the past few years, is the apathy of people who profess to be saved. Want a feeling about God, about the things of God, about sinners who are dying without God. And I'll tell you, there has to be, and there is, I believe, an antidote or a healing for that apathy in our life. You know, I thought about this as I was thinking about these verses of Scripture. I thought about the fact of how wonderful it is to think and observe how thoughtful our Lord is concerning our welfare. You know, the Bible said, in the book of Hebrews, he said, Hebrews chapter number 3 and verse number 8, today, if you will hear his voice, that's verse 7, and in verse number 8 he said, harden not your heart. You know, it's a wonderful thing to read that and to read the following scriptures and see how that God administers to our soul through his word. And so I want to take a portion of Scripture out of Hebrews chapter 12 this morning and say several things, and then we'll be through. Look, if you would, in verse 1 and verse number 2. May I read it again? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with race, run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father on the throne of God. Excuse me. I want to think for just a moment about these words and how these words are directed to the children that he loves. Amen. I thought about this, and I run back over to verse number 3. And there are two things in that verse that I'd like to make mention of as we pass on this morning. He said, lest ye be weary. Amen. I'm so glad, my friend, that God is concerned about his children. He not only talked about being weary, but he talked about lest ye be faint. And I thought about what is the Lord saying to me when he uses these words. Well, the word weary, I guess, has the idea of getting tired in a race. It's been said several times since this service or this meeting has begun. We got on last night that this is not just a short little sprint. It's a long distance race that we're in. And if you've been running this race for very long, you'll find yourself growing weary. Amen. And the writer, whom I believe to be Paul, of this epistle, lets us understand something about weariness. And that idea of getting tired in a race. I'm going to tell you, it's easy to get tired if you're running hard. Amen. And it seems like the longer you run, the easier it is to get tired. Somebody said, well, I'll be glad when I get to the place to where I'm so close to God, this thing will be easier. I've got news for you, brother. The closer to God you get, the harder it gets. Amen. Because the closer you get to God, the more the devil battles against our making that progress that we should be making with God. And it is not easy, but I'm so glad, as has been said, we've got someone on our side who has the power to keep us going and keep us strong. Amen. I may grow weary, but I don't need to faint because he's there with me every step of the way. Amen. Amen. These are words that he's written to his children. Not only that, he said, lest ye faint. Now, someone has said that the word faint has to do with to grow feeble from work. Well, I have to be honest with you. Most Baptists ain't going to faint then. You hear what I'm saying? If it means to grow feeble from work, they ain't got no problem there. Amen. Amen. I told somebody last night, when I was at the church I'm pastoring now, I believe November, I've been there 18 years. When I went to that church, there was about, 100 or so people there. You know how many we had last Sunday? 21. You know how many they had last night? Probably 20. My son was sick, not able to go. You know how many they'll have this Sunday morning? If somebody's not sick, 21. Now, where's the rest of them at? Here's what I found out. I know every one of them. Every one still live there, Brother Hall. And beside those who are godly people who've died, not a one of them are in church anywhere and have not been for 18 years now. Now, what does that tell us? And to me, it says, and of course, I'm the world's worst about this, I don't believe they're saved. You hear me? God saved me, Brother Rick, when I was an outlaw. But one thing I'll say, I've always had a burning desire in my heart to go to the house of God. Amen. Amen. I've been cussed and accused, called every name, blamed for things that are not so, called things that are not so, because of the doctrine that I believe. But I'm telling you what, my friend, I still believe that God is the greatest thing that will happen to me, and the opportunity to go to the house of God is the grandest opportunity that I've ever had, and I never get tired. And as long as I live, hope God keeps a shout in my soul. Amen. 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 Did I tell y'all? Amen. Lest you faint, grow feeble from the word. You know, it seems as if as we face these days that we're growing more feeble every day in the realm of Christianity. And that's about all it is. Let me say this. From right there to right there. And I'll make some of you mad, but I am a Baptist. John was a Baptist. Jesus was a Baptist. Paul was a Baptist. The church, that first church, was a Baptist church. So I'm a Baptist. Amen. I'm a Baptist. But I'll tell you what, before that, I'm a child of God, saved by the grace of God. Amen. And I'm telling you, the words that he speaks are words that give me hope, because the words that he speaks to me when he tells me I'm not to be weary and not to faint and give me the encouragement, they are words of love that fall from the Savior's lips to my ear and to my heart. Isn't it wonderful to be saved? I love preaching. Amen. Amen. I love it. I don't ever get enough of it. I don't ever get tired of it. I tell you what, I was thinking back, my wife and I were talking many years ago. When I first got saved, Brother Blue had been saved quite a lot longer than I had. But you used to have what was that called, Brother Stanley? About Baptist Preachers? Yeah, Association. Met twice a year, March and October. I don't know that much about it. And I'm going to tell you, I do remember as a young preacher, in the midst of all that, how God stirred my heart as those old men of God got up and preached. It was amazing to me hear God preach. I hear them preach that wonderful word. And to take the heart of a newborn son of God and tell me how much God loves me, and it kept me from going weary and fainting in the way. Amen. You see, I was thinking as Brother Whitlow was preaching. First church I pastored is still in operation. Now, you don't throw books at me now, but it was a Southern Baptist church named Brown Chapel. It wasn't named after me. It's named after a bootlegger who gave the property to the church. That's right. Lige Brown, who was a bootlegger there, gave the property and built the church on it. I mean, that's the way it was. And I remember I stayed there 3 years. Lord have mercy. 3 of the worst years. I'm telling you, my wife sits back there and she can verify this. When I'd get up to preach, they hated me. And back in those days, women wore a lot of jewelry on the bracelets. And I'd get up and start to preach, and they'd start shaking those things like that. They'd just rattle through that. But I was just young enough and didn't care enough that I preached. Amen. But here's what happened. God saved, hear me, God saved more people that are still going for God. Some of them called to preach that are still going for God than any other time in the years that I've been preaching. He proved himself. Listen, you say, why did he put you there? To prove himself to me. They didn't want me. You know, I asked them one time, I may have said this, why did y'all call me to this church? And honestly, here's what they said. They said there was a fellow, a preacher by the name of Tom Patterson. And they said, they liked him, I guess. And they said, you favored Brother Tom, and we felt like you'd be. Honest, that's what they said. I don't know if I favored Brother Tom or not, but I'll tell you what, they wanted to get rid of me in a hurry. But 3 years, I stuck it out. I stayed there to God's set leave. But God proved himself. He proved that I was a son of his love. Though I grow weary, though I might grow faint, he was there holding me up, strengthening, and keeping me preaching the word of Almighty God. Don't give up. I know it's hard I've never been a missionary. I pray for them daily. We support them. And I know it's hard to go to a strange place. And I do know some missionaries. And I know, matter of fact, my brother-in-law is a missionary. And I know that they've labored hard in the places where they're at. And it seems as if there's not been a lot of results. But the one thing that you keep in mind, that it's God that saves. It's God that saves. What He requires of me and you as a missionary or a preacher is to be faithful to the Word of God. And He'll do what needs to be done. I've been accused of a lot of things and I stay away from them. And somebody said, well, you don't believe God will save everybody. I said, I tell you what I do believe. I believe God will save everybody to come to Him. Now, what better can you get in there? He ain't going to say to nobody, don't come. That's foolishness. You know when He saved me? When I came. What a glorious day it was. So though I may grow weary, though I may feel like fading, I can realize that I'm a son of His love and God will be faithful through it all. Amen. Amen. Let me notice a second thing here before I run out of wind. Notice if you would, and this is all familiar scripture here, but Paul talks about in verse number 12, about in verse 1, about a race. Notice he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, I'm not, what would you call it, a scholar. And I certainly don't know much about the English language. Just listen to me and you'll figure that out. But am I correct in saying, for you that know, that doesn't say a race. It's got the definite article before it, the race. Is that not what it says? Is that not what it says? My friend, I think that's what it says. Read it again. It says, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So it tells me that without exception, that the Christian life is compared to a race. Amen. And whatever that may entail, that is exactly what it says. I want you to notice three, and maybe I get further than this, and I run out of wind and have to quit. But there are three key words about the contest or the race in these verses. Now, notice first of all, the word run. Now, I'm not very smart, but let me say, if we run a race, we run. We don't jog, we don't walk, we don't trot, we run. Now, I do know the difference between those things. Amen. We run. Amen. So we need to be faithful to run. Amen. Now, I'm past the running stage physically. I do remember in years past when I come up here, I had enough about me. I could run back and forth across. Now, when I do that, I got to go home and go to bed. But I'm not to quit. I'm to be like that faithful man in that race. I'm not to jog. I'm not to walk. I'm to run. And whatever that run signifies, that's what's to be a part of the problem we've got today. We don't have men and women, boys and girls running in this race. They're sitting by the wayside. They're trying to trot. They're trying to walk. They're trying to jog instead of putting forth the effort to run. You've got to put forth some effort to run. Amen. Amen. So we see, he says, in this Christian race, or this life, as compared to a race, we're to run. I want to ask you a question. Are you running? Amen. Are you running? Are you walking? Are you just jogging? Amen. I didn't put that in there. I'll write that in there. are you running? We got to run. Why? The Bible said run. All right? Notice again, not only the word run, but notice it said, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, whatever else the word patience is making reference to, I'll tell you what comes to my mind when I read it. Persistent. Now, I know the word patience means to keep on keeping on without letting anything stop you, basically. Persistence. I'm to persistently, every day of my life, every hour of my life, be faithful in this race to run. Not just when I go to the house. Some of you, the only time that you manifest that God's in your life is when you go to the house of God. And that is pure hypocrisy. Amen. Only time some of you preachers get excited is when you're around another group of preachers. You want them to notice you. Not me. I'm going to tell you how it is with me. I can't get out. When I start Sunday morning at our church, I've got where I sit down on the front pew like that right there. We always open our service up with a particular song. Not the one y'all use, but a particular song. And when they strike the first, my grandson plays the piano. When they strike the first chorus, I holler, amen. Amen. Turn it on, God. Pour it on us, God. Let us run. I'm telling you what, friend. I want to be persistent in my life for God. In the house of God, in my house, in the community where I live. I don't want to see me one way and another way out some other place. That's our problem today. There is no... I remember when I pastored at Welcome Baptist Church, up in Piedmont, for I was there 10 years, I guess it was. Brother Blue, it was at least 9 of those 10 years, if not 10 years, was in revival in that church. I mean, God blowed through that place. Wasn't this preacher? I was too young to know anything and too dumb to understand much. But God met with us. I mean, God blowed through that place. And here was the result of that. We had quite a few folks saved. But in that community, there was a man, well, I better not call his name, he's dead now, but it was a bunch of drunks. When I went to that community, it was nothing but a sawmill community. It's grown up now. And my friend, the only work they had, and he was either a bootlegger or, or whatever. And I worked with those men. I visited with them. I never did get them in church, is what I'm talking about. And we'd have outdoor meetings at houses sometimes, and they'd come for that. And we would preach out in the yard, they'd come for that. But I remember when I was leaving, there's a store right down the road where the church was at, and this particular fellow was sitting in that store. And this is what he said. And it made me feel good, not putting any crowns on my head. But this is what that lost man said. As far as I know, he died without God lost. But this is what he said. What are we going to do for a preacher in this community? Brother Brown is leaving. And I'm going to tell you what it was. When I was there, Brother Herbert, I tried to run patiently. Wherever they saw me, wherever they heard me, I was trying to be the same. And though it did not sway that man toward God, it made him understand that there was something real about Christianity. Amen. Now, probably, we're such hypocrites, my friend, that we don't live for God, and the world thinks nothing about it. Amen. Run with patience, persistently. You say you're saved, live it every day. Amen. Brother Rick, God give us 3 boys. My older boy and younger boy are still living. Our middle boy passed when he was 15. But you know what? Both those boys are in church. They got their family in church. They're serving God in church. And I'm going to tell you what it is. I think it is one of the reasons. I know it's the good grace of God. But they saw Daddy through thick and thin. They saw Mama through thick and thin. Stay with God. Stay with God. Stay with God. When people were cursing us, turning their back, they saw us. Stay with God. Trying with all our faults and failures, and there were plenty of them, to be patient after to run that race. So persistence. Don't give up. See, there's 7 boys in my family. Mom and Dad had 1 daughter, 7 boys. The daughter died when she was 18 months old with leukemia. But all my brothers are still living. Of those 7 of us boys, Ricky, the baby boy, and his family is a member of the church where I pastor. Bruce, my brother, you know Brother Bruce, went to Tabernacle. Ran into he messed up, Brother Ricky. Got divorced, got remarried. But outside of those 2 and myself, none of the others even professed to be saved. And every night when I lay my head on my pillow, I ask God, would you please visit them and deal with their hearts. And I've tried to live before them. And I've tried to run the race before them. Not that I'd give you glory, but they might see the virtue of serving and living with God. Amen. And I'm looking for them to be saved. Amen. God has extended long mercy to them. What if I was to be? See, one of the problems is what Bruce did. And I love him. But you see, it caused those that's lost to look at that and think about, well, is anything real? Let them see that in my life. Let them see me press on. Let them see me run persistently the race that God has set before me. I care not about being a great preacher. I'm not even a good preacher, much less a great preacher. And I'm like every other preacher. I'd like to see every pew in my church full. But I got higher ambitions than that. I want God to be magnified in my life. So he said here, he said, run. He said, run with patience. But then notice something else. That he talks about this Christian life as compared to a race. He said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And I wrote this down. Whether it's original me or not, I don't know. I wrote it down. I found out a lot of time doing a lot of reading, it doesn't original. Amen with me. Anyway, said, we're to release ourselves from all hindrances. I thought about that. We're to look aside, or to lay aside, I should say, 2 things he talks about in that verse. Weights and sin. And I thought about that, and I'm sure that you're better acquainted with it than I am. The weights refer to things that draw us aside. Amen. Sin speaks of rebellion and violation of God's law. Weights are laid aside by committing them, confessing them, repenting them to the Lord. Sin is laid aside by confession of them to God. Now, in verse number 1, it said, which thus so easily beset us. And I thought about that and looked it up and studied about it for a while, and it's not anything new. But the term beset us is a term that describes a garment that is wrapped around the body. It's used to describe a vine that climbs a tree and wraps itself around that tree. Now, that's exactly what our problem is. Amen. Amen? Oh, yes. those things, that entwine us, that bind us down, that cause us not to be able to run this race as we should. And you know what? We don't think anything about that today. Amen. That sin, these weights, they wrap around us like a vine. Now, I was raised in the country. I was raised so far out in the country, it's pathetic. I won't even talk about that. No, we was in the country, let me say that. And we as boys used to run through the woods. I don't know if you ever done that. The joyful part of our life, I should say, was jumping ditches. Well, we didn't have bicycles. We didn't have a red wagon. We had bare feet. And I'm not joking, that's what we had. And in the part of the country where I was at, those old ditches were water-washed ditches. And we found our greatest pleasure in running and jumping those ditches. The second pleasure we had was climbing trees and topping them. Now, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about or not. We'd find a slim tree real tall. We'd shin up that tree, jump out, catch the top of it, and ride that thing down. But I come to realize, Brother Abbott, as I was out there, I got to know a lot of those trees out there were wrapped up in vines. Anybody know what muscadine vines are? Now, I still live out in the country, and I don't see many much. But back then, if you was out in the woods, there's muscadine vines wound around everything. And every time I read this, I thought about that. It had that tree. You couldn't climb it. You couldn't get up and swing out of it. The muscadine vines run up that thing, wrapped around it, and impeded your climb up that tree. It made it useful for what we used it for. And I'm telling you, friend, these things that enwrap us, those things make us useless in the things of Almighty God. Amen. Yes. They easily beset us, wind us up, bind us up, and keep us from being able to bring glory to God with our lives. Amen. Let me just give you one other thing, and I've got to quit. Notice he said, looking. I like that word, sir. Looking, he said, unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's in Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 2. I thought about that. What does he say? What is he talking about when he tells me looking unto Jesus? It means putting everything into its right perspective. I'm going to tell you, we're out of focus today. Amen. Totally out of focus. We're so much out of focus, we come to the house of God, the man of God opens the Bible, gets up and preaches, and we're so out of focus, we can't see what he's saying in our life. We can't put the word of God, the things of God, in their right perspective. Fire forth. We're void of the power of God. Amen. Hey, I do remember, and like I said, I've been saved since 65, but I do remember in those first few years, anyway, some churches, well, when you walked in, yes, you knew God was there. Yes, sir. How many churches you know today, and when you walk in on the premises of that church, that you automatically know God's around you? You say, it can't be that way. Well, let me ask you a question. When Israel were in their wanderings, and they had that temple, that tabernacle set up, And at night, they had that pillar of fire. And day, they had that pillar of cloud. Do you not see that whoever came in on the premises of where Israel was encamped, that they understood that God was there? His presence was manifested at night. You know what I'm saying? Night time in the Bible speaks of difficulties, does it not? Dangers. And I still believe that the power of God and the presence of God can be manifest even though the devil is sitting around throwing, gnawing and chawing on folk. Amen. See, folks say, well, I'll be glad when things get so good that we can have revival. That's a stupid statement. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I'm not being unkind. In those times when God sends revival. Because I'll tell you why. Somebody said it. Brother Rick said it. Others said it. God does everything for one purpose. To the glory of His name. And when things get the worst, and it seems impossible, see, that's what gives me hope. We're praying for revival at Victory Baptist Church. I'm not talking about a meeting either. We could have a meeting every week, I suppose. But we're praying for revival. That God would come. And God would overshadow. And God would manifest Himself. Amen. That's what revival is, isn't it? Not just having a meeting. Well, I got two churches in Rockville instead of me that have two or three meetings a year. There's about four or five independent Baptist churches within maybe 20-mile radius of me going one way and 20 miles the other way. They have two or three meetings a year. But I ain't seen no revival yet. Now, I'm not against preaching. I tell you, you got to have it. I believe what that man said. It takes preaching, brother. You know why? Preaching what got me in. Preaching what got my kids in. Preaching. My wife was baptized so many times. Every tadpole knew. Cleet knew who she was. And then one day, she sent her preaching. And she got saved. It's amazing what preaching does. It causes you to look unto Jesus. It causes you to put things in their proper perspective. We got to do that today. I got to go on. Notice, he said in verse number 2, he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now notice, if you would, the word author has to do with one who leads a procession, if I can get it out. One who takes precedence. The author. He, when he and I was saved, took precedence. He took, my friend, the first place, turned my heart around. Wasn't something that somebody else had said. Like I said, Brother Virgil, probably one of the greatest preachers I ever heard preach. I love him. He's my pastor. And I'm going to tell you what, he stayed true to the book. He's been in the same church ever since he started preaching, or ever since that's the first only church he ever preached. He's still the same today he was that many years ago when I got saved. And he preached to me. I remember, can I say this? I was like a lot of you. When I got saved, I sucked on cigarettes. And I mean, I was a heavy smoker. Brother Barnard never been known for being, what the word I'm on, goofy. I always, when I got saved, I sat on the front pew. At that time, Fellowship Church had two rows of pews, and I sat right there. And without exception, whether it be on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, somewhere, I don't care what he's preaching on, he'd get right in my face and say, Brown, you still are sucking on them cigarettes. You know what I said? Hey, man, preacher, preach on. Well, no need of me getting mad. He was right. I was wrong. And I thank God that he stayed with us stuff. Amen. He didn't change. All right. Notice that Bible said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. He's the leader. He's the perfecter of our faith. He granted me repentance. He granted me faith. I know what the Bible says. The faith that I exercised that Sunday night didn't come from me. It came from him. The repentance that I exercised that night didn't come from me. It came from him. It was real to me. I had to do it. But it was a gift of God. Isn't he a good God? That he had taken an old sinner and give him gifts like repentance and faith and enable him to enact those and then call him into his family and make him. I'm going to tell you what, I wish I could run. Amen. I'd just have myself a time today. Amen. That's just the first thought. I'll quit there. I've got to run out of there. But let me read verse 3 again and I'm through 4. Consider him that endured such contradiction despite. That's what one of the words that. I mean, they despised him. Look at him. Now, can I say this about that? I've been accused and cussed and lied about. Well, let me say this. What I believe, and you ain't going to change me. For what I believe, I got the word of God, so you're not going to change me, all right? Just whatever it is, just leave me alone. If you don't want to around me, go your way. I ain't going to argue fight with you. But I'm going to tell you something. You stay with God, and this world is going to despise you. It amazes me, preacher, how many times I've heard in these years I've been preaching. And it may not say it just like this, but this is what they're inferring. And so if that crowd out there don't like you, then you're not right with God. Well, if that's the case, I ain't never been right with God. I'm honest about that. I'm not being facetious or mean or smart. Now, you always have got the exception. I'm going to tell you what. Usually that old out-and-out sinner that knows that they're sinners will have more respect for you than that good man that sits out there. I found that to be true. In the community where I'm at now. I visit the houses, two other Baptist churches in the Roxville and this, and they, you know, they know where I stand, know where our church stands. They're not going to come. But them old sinners out there, they ain't got nothing bad to say about it. Now, them church members got something bad to say about them. But that's like water off a duck's back. You know how that is, don't you? Just pour it on there, run off. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. So, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Wish I had time to deal with that little word less there, but I won't. Think about Jesus. Somebody asked me this morning, said, did you sleep much last night? Well, I don't ever sleep much. All the problems that I got, and I'm not, and it's neither here nor there, but I don't sleep much. That's one of my problems. I'm wore out when I get up every morning. But one thing that God has done for me, and for the sicknesses I'm in right now and the end results that they told me is going to happen, I got no worry about it. I believe that God brought me there. Because I'm going to tell you something. In these days, in the last year and a half of my life, I've learned more of God and had more of God in my own life. And I have, and I lay there at night in bed. It's just like Jesus. Lays down beside me and strokes my brow and says, son, it's all right. You belong to me. And I mean that. I mean that's the way it is. And it makes all the despite and the words and the accusations and the thoughts of others take their flight. Because thou with me is the darling of my soul, giving me grace and peace and rest. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. And Lord, my soul has been lifted up to hear these precious men of God preach. And I thank you, God, for the salvation that you provided in Christ. I ask now, God, that you would seal these words, magnify thy name. Oh, God, through this meeting, may it not just be a meeting. And Lord, I ask, and I don't want to seem to be unkind, but for we who've come, missionary and preacher alike, may we not have come to be heard, but may we come to hear and be changed. I can only speak for myself, but I need something, God. I need grace and strength, and I need encouragement these days. And I pray you bless the men of God as they stand and preach. These missionaries, I pray, God, you bless them and meet their needs. This church is dear to my heart. Oh, God, the years that I've been privileged to come here, it's been a blessing and a strength to me to know this man of God and these people. And I do pray, God, that you pour out abundant blessings upon them. Bless our folk at home. Oh, God, we're pleading for revival. Would you send it, oh, God? Help us, Lord, to be in that place we need to be. Magnify thy Son through us and in us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.